What is your dream? Everyone has a dream, but what is your dream? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What is your dream? Well, it really doesn't make any difference at all what our dream is, because it's not going to come true. Our dream is not going to come true because we do not give it our undivided attention. We have not learned to give it our undivided attention. Now, how do we learn to give our dream our undivided attention? Mothers are good at playing this game. They say, "I got a surprise for you." And that's getting undivided attention. And she drags it out. She says, "Now, get washed up, go in the house and, get ready for supper, and I got a surprise for you." And everybody wonders what this surprise is. And even those who aren't supposed to be getting the surprise, they wonder what the surprise is going to be for those that are getting it. And mother says, "Now, come on, I can't tell you what the surprise is until you're all sitting down and all said your prayer and ready for supper." And so, quietly, they do this, where normally they're always storming around. And, little by little, the kids sit in their place. And then, they start talking with each other, and then they say, "No, better not talk. We want to learn what that surprise is as soon as possible." So the mother comes to the table. She brings the dinner, and she puts it on the table, served family style. And everyone takes the portion that they would like to eat, and sometimes more than they like to eat, because they're, want to make sure they got enough, but they can't eat it. And so mother says, "All right, are you ready for your surprise?" And all the kids say, "Yeah, who's the surprise for?" "That's for all of you. I told you, come on, I want you to come in for your surprise." "I didn't say who it was for." "Well, I thought it was going to be for Mary, because she's always the nice one, I thought it was going to be for Tom, because he's always helping you out." "Well, them two. But can anyone imagine what the surprise might be?" Drag it out, Drag it out. Start serving the dinner. And the kids are eating. "Well, what do you think it might be?" And they're eating very nicely and without any thought about it, Without any thought that that's not their favorite vegetable and that's not their favorite meat and what have you. But they eat it. And so then, finally, just as the mother is about to clear the table for dinner and get ready for dessert, she says, "Now, I'd like you all to see the surprise." And
I'm really looking forward.
Huh?
I'm really looking forward.
I know. I am too. No, I know what it is. I know what it is. Now, she says, "All right, kids, now sit quietly." "Okay, hey. Quit, sit quietly. Come on, sit quietly. Now, everybody close your eyes and keep them closed. Don't cheat. And so the mother says, "I'll be gone for just a few minutes now. I'll be back, but all of you keep your eyes closed. Anybody cheats, they don't get the surprise." So she goes out of the house. She comes back in, and father's sitting there making sure no one's cheating. And when she comes in the house, she has this box in her arms. And everybody says, "What can that be?" "Okay, now, open your eyes. Now, Penelope, you're the littlest one. So you get to open the box that will be a present for all of you." And so Penelope opens the box. First, she's got to untie the strings around it after she's taken off the paper. And then she has to take off some more paper. And then she gets the cover off. And the cover on the box is as big as, a monster. You think it's going to be some big train set or something like that, And then she opens it up. And the cover is standing in front of her so nobody can see it. And this little guy crawls up on her dress. And then mother takes the cover away. And here it's a baby kitten. And they all fell in love with their surprise, the baby kitten. And then, the next meal, Mother said, "Now, at breakfast tomorrow morning, we're going to have a contest. And the contest will be, who can name the kitten? So you get a chance to know the kitten a little bit tonight. And then tomorrow morning, we'll have a contest for who's going to name the kitten. And I got a surprise for the person who names the kitten." Another kitten. "No, I got a surprise." And they say, "What could be bigger than the surprise of the cat, you know?" So in the morning, Mother's got all of their attention, and she's got them all eating their breakfast good and cleaning up the breakfast, putting away the dishes, you know, and washing the dishes and putting them away. Everything's spick and span. "Okay, now sit down at the table." So they sit down at the empty kitchen table with just a glass on it full of spoons, and they say, "Okay, Mom, what's the surprise?" "Well, you haven't told me the name of your cat yet." And so they give all these different names, and the kids already know what name it's going to be. But they give it all these different names, and then little Penelope, she was talking with the rest of the kids too, and the rest of the kids said, "Penelope, you deserve to be able to name the cat yourself, because I think it's going to be sort of like your cat, but ours too. Now, Penelope, what would you like to call the cat?" And Penelope says, "Cuddles, Cuddles, Cuddles, Cuddles." You know? And they all said, "Cuddles? All right, if that's what you like." So the mother came in, and she and Papa sat down with their cup of coffee, and they watched the kids. They said, "Well, what names have you come up with? Have you written them down?" "Yes, Mother." "And what have you decided?" "We decided that whatever name Penelope wants is the name that we're going to have for the cat, because we think it's really going to be Penelope's cat. In fact, she's going to train it." And she said, and Penelope doesn't know beans about cats. But so they said, "Well, then what is the name?" "The name is Cuddles." And so Mama says, "Well, I guess Penelope gets two treats then, doesn't she? She gets two Twinkie bars in her lunch when she goes to school today. How wonderful." Now you see, life is like that. It can be an exciting adventure, or it can be boring. And if you put imagination into your adventure, if you put imagination into every activity of your life, it's lots of fun. But when you just go through life, you know, blah, 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 just go through life morning, noon, and night, eating your meals, sitting at the table, doing the same thing, it's not interesting. I always admire the senior Kennedy family because their father was a very demanding, oh my, what a terrible demanding man he was, but he demanded of his, what did he have, 12 children, of his 12 children, that they be able to answer whatever question he asked. And he was a genius. If the kids were geniuses, he was a genius. He knew the question. He would ask them about, what is the bank rate in London? What's the exchange rate for these different countries? What happened in Nigeria last night? You know, what happened here and there and around the world? What happened in downtown, wherever they live? You know, what happened here? What happened there in Newport? And what happened to these things? And well, who died last night as a governmental official? You know, and how did he die? And why did he die? And so you say, well, Doug Hammarskjöld was flying from Europe to America, and the plane crashed, and so forth and so on. You know, and that's just the way it is. He is head of the United Nations. Well, you see, their dinner table was always an exciting array of answers and questions. The answers they had to look up before the questions came. They had to guess what questions their dad was going to ask, because they couldn't all know all subjects, but they did. They did. That's what it takes to be a president, to know all subjects and to have an opinion about it, to have a gut feeling about it. You can't always have a mental attitude or knowledge about it, but you can have a gut feeling about it. Well, the Kennedy family was really an example of an outstanding family that not only cared about their children, but helped them maintain. Now, one of the Kennedy girls had a mental problem, and she had to be put in an institution when she was a young girl. And so she was very seldom at home with the family. But when she did come home, they made a big fuss over her and made her, you know, a royal party for her and everything like that. But then she went back to the mental institution because she would not be happy in that dynamic live wire family who were not going to babysit anybody, you know. But we all have the opportunity to live a very, very, very exciting life if we want to. But it's only by our giving our best to it, by our using our imagination, by our thinking outstanding, creative thoughts about it. John F. Kennedy, as the senior Kennedy, he had a number of boys, and each one of the boys, mentally, he had lined up for positions in government. And the one Kennedy is still a senator from New York in government, you know. Or no, he's a congressman or something, whatever he is. And he's still in government, still, from way back when, you know. And the other Kennedy brother became the attorney general, and Kennedy himself became the president. And one of the daughters became the head of the the helpful society around the world, you know, that goes around and
the Red Cross.
Say it.
Red Cross.
No, but if you got it, something, say it. No, it is helping in communities, help them build houses and do those things, you know. And then who did she marry? Schwarzenheimer.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, she married Schwarzenegger, and now then he became the governor. And though he is not legally or have a right to be president, they'll probably figure out a way, and he'll be president. But you see, the family and its ties, the family and its attitude just goes on and on. Their imagination is so utterly fantastic that it's just really great. And when you use just a teensy-weensy little bit of that imagination, then it's great for you. And we come back to our famous Owerri. Is south of Lagos. South of Lagos and Port Harcourt and so forth. It's in the ocean. But no, it's not in the ocean, it's on land. And can Sibyl imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Can anybody who wants to have a little imagination imagine that? Do you even have to know what it looks like down there? No. Can you imagine San Francisco south of San Diego? No.
Sure.
Wouldn't that be an interesting experience? No, it wouldn't, because since it's true, you don't think a thing about it. You don't think how it was somewhere else, because as far as you're concerned, it never was somewhere else. See, when you begin living your dream, when you begin doing your thing, do you think Einstein lived in the possibility of life? No, not the possibility. He lived in the reality of life. He believed all the things he wrote about, talked about, and lived were true. He believed the theory of relativity. He believed that the magnetic fields are such and so, and he believes that the
springs.
Say it.
The springs, the water.
Yeah, that too. He believed all those things, you know. You know.
The volcanoes.
Well, you're in another area than I was, but that's okay. You just have fun because
gravity. You want?
Thank you, thank you, Mrs. Malikoff. You finally came through with it. My goodness sakes, Heinz, where have you been sleeping? Yeah, okay, but yeah, gravity.
It was too normal.
Sure, it's true, Dharma. We talked about it this morning. But you see, that's the wonderful thing about this here. These are all wonderful things that go on in the world. And this is what the Kennedy family has for their dinner every night. This is what they have every noon and every breakfast, you know. They're great. And who did Jacqueline Kennedy marry? After she had... After she had the President of the United States, and after she had this great honor, you know, such as it was, then she married the next richest man in the world, you know. And it's wonderful. And then when she died, when he died, what did she do? She came back and bought a magazine.
She was a journalist.
Yes, she bought a magazine and she published it. And she enjoyed doing it. And she had her sons working for her. They didn't need to work for her. They were all worth far more than Bill Gates at that time, you know. But they did, and they had a great time. But this is how it's all about. And this is, use your imagination, because you haven't the slightest idea what's around the corner for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You haven't the slightest idea of what magic is going to be taking place in your life. You don't know. And for you to ever think, oh dear, you know, it's terrible, I have nothing to do, what a boring life, you know. Really. Joseph said to me, he says, you know, he says, since I met you, I have lived a good life. He said, I have values and I'm a happy person. And he said, if they take off my legs, so what? If they take off my arms, so what? He says, whatever, I've got me inside here, which is a very wonderful person.
Wow.
And he says, and I like me very much. And I said, you talk like that and they're not going to have to take anything off. He says, I'm talking like that. I said, go right ahead. Go right ahead. I said, we'll send you $50. He said, oh, wow. Oh, wow, wow, wow. You know, he said, I had $2 for canteen last month. He said, and this will make it real nice. And he said, you know what they're doing? They're charging me co-payment and doing things for him. You know, they shot his knee off, you know, they shot his leg off, and they're charging him co-payment on his on his healing needs. But, hey, that's understandable. He caused it. Just because they did it, he caused it. If the dog is biting and you go next to the dog, you're asking for it. If the dog is biting, you stay away from that dog, you know. And the guard asked him for something, and he didn't stay away. He just said, I won't be bothered. But anyhow, another story. Now, what we want to do is so live our life and so have imagination, so have fantasy, so have wonderful things going on, you know? There are many people in this world who are great artists who do not have all their limbs. There are many people in this world who are great and wonderful beings, and they don't have all of their faculties, but yet they're great, just like Mother Moses, Grandma Moses, you know. Fantastic. So you too, look forward to some great and exciting adventures, because they're just in front of you, and they're just waiting for you to be experienced right now. So I say to you, open my eyes that I may see riches of peace thou hast for me. Open my eyes. Now, open your eyes and let it be. Be like the girl in the movie.
Holidays.
Last Holiday.
Not Holiday. That was good, too.
Yeah.
But Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Or is it Sound of Music? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how do you, Ingeborg?
Holiday.
How do you catch
a
moonbeam in your hand? How do you do it? Now, this is what the nuns all came down to when they looked at her. And they say, how do you catch a moonbeam in your hand. And that's just what she was. She was a moonbeam. She was a starbeam. She was a light, living, enjoying the magic of the day. The hills called her because they were alive with the music that she was called to sing upon. Everything called her to be joyous. And even when she was given the shaft by the kids, with the frog and the pine cone and so forth, she so startled, naturally, but she obviously quickly realized, having been from a big family herself, that this is what they were doing. And they were just having themselves a great old time. And it didn't disturb her at all. And pretty soon, they realized that she was on their side. And what did she end up realizing? She was her mother.
Arya.
Never once suspecting that, but just wishing them the best. Well, have a lovely evening, and realize that the more imagination you have, the more dreaming you do, the more possibilities you have of seeing those dreams come true. But if you can see those dreams come through right in your consciousness without having to visualize them, in fact, you've got everything going.
Okay.
Aren't you whole and perfect?
I'm whole and perfect.
You don't have to realize it, in fact. You don't have to think anything about it. You don't even have to think that you have to be sick to be well, because you're whole and perfect.
Just that?
Now, if you're whole and perfect because you're thinking you're sick and you got to be well, then, you know, you're making trouble for yourself. Just like a person who doesn't have any money. They say, I'm poor. Enjoy. The poorness is yours. It's forever. So dream your wildest dream and watch the world come true for you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.